I don't know of anyone who enjoys hearing bad news. We all don't like it when we have to hear those tough things, and perhaps we shrink back a little bit. Perhaps we go into a state of denial. We don't want to hear it, and so we don't want to believe it, and so we put it off to another time. And that's especially true when it comes to things of judgment, as we see in the text today. It's also equally true, I think, that no one wants to be the bearer of bad tidings. Jeremiah falls into that camp, and we'll see next time that Jeremiah is sort of fed up. He's tired of being the one who has to bring the bad news of God's judgment to the people of Judah. Often when we receive news that we are neither expecting nor wishing to hear, we can refuse to believe it. And that's exactly where the people of Judah were. But what we're seeing here is more than just bad news and their refusal to hear it. What we're seeing here is an indictment that is handed down by none other than Yahweh himself, the Lord of the covenant. The God who has entered into covenant with his people is the God who is bringing a lawsuit, an indictment against Judah for their sin. And not only, as we'll see, is he bringing an indictment, but he's also announcing a sentence, for he has charged them as those who are guilty of disobeying and of breaking his covenant. This is the sovereign Lord, Yahweh himself, who's speaking through his prophet Jeremiah. What is the time? Somewhere between 605 and 604 BC. You'll notice in chapter 20, and we'll not stay there long, but in chapter 20, verse 1, we're introduced to a man whose name is Pashur, the priest of the son of Immer, who was the chief officer in the house of the Lord. Later in chapter 29, which dates around 597 BC, we come to another man who's named as the officer in the house of the Lord. And so we date this time in Jeremiah chapter 19 and 20 before that, somewhere in the neighborhood of 605 BC. The place? We're told it's in the valley of the son of Hinnom, at the potsherd gate, the west side of Jerusalem, where all the city's rubbish was dumped. There are witnesses in this case, as the Lord prosecutes through Jeremiah, and the witnesses are the elders of the people and the elders of the priests who are called to join Jeremiah as he goes to purchase a flask. To whom is the indictment brought? To the kings. Not just the reigning king, but you'll notice in chapter 19 that he says, "Hear the word of the Lord," verse 3, "O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem." Kings, all of those kings, as one has rightly noted, all of those kings who belong to the whole dynasty who are responsible for Judah's apostasy. And so the indictment is to go out. It is to be announced in the valley of the son of Hinnom before witnesses to the kings. And there is to be a unique way to deliver this indictment and sentence. A unique way, in fact. Jeremiah is called, first of all, to go and buy a potter's earthenware, a flask, a bottle with a very small neck, a clay bottle that has been hardened and has been heated. And the type of bottle that is referred to, or flask that is referred to here, is literally a gurgling vessel. Because of its long and narrow neck, it would be one that would gurgle when the fluid would be poured out. And so we come to see that Jeremiah the prophet is called to bring in a unique way, the message of God's indictment and sentencing of a people who are to be found guilty. So let's look first of all at the indictment. After announcing that disaster will come, the first thing that we see here listed in graphic detail is the abominable sins of Judah. They had forsaken God. Oh, what abominations they were guilty of. Notice verse 4, because the people have forsaken me and have profaned this place by making offerings in it to other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers nor the kings of Judah have known. They had forsaken God for false gods. They had bowed down to these false gods. And I'm sure that if you had asked the people of Judah if they had forsaken God, they would say, well, certainly not. We haven't forsaken him at all. But they had forsaken him. They outright denied it, but they were bowing down to false gods. And the Lord, the covenant Lord, the name that is used here of the Lord himself is Yahweh, is the covenant Lord of the people. And he wants the people to know that they have not only forsaken him, but what is more, they have profaned this place. Literally, they have made it alien. They have profaned this place by making offerings in it to other gods. They didn't treat this place as sacred to the Lord, as set apart, and as dedicated to Yahweh. No, they thirdly burned sacrifices there. And notice, it's to gods they didn't even know. Neither they, nor their fathers, nor the kings of Judah knew who these gods were. Oh, what a sad indictment this is. They had left the God who had revealed himself to them, had redeemed them, had entered into covenant with them, the God who had given them promises. They had forsaken him for gods that they did not even know. And what had they done? It only gets worse. They filled the place with innocent blood. They were guilty of child sacrifice. Such sacrifices were typically made by the foreigners to the foreign god Molech. And the practice was horrific. Listen to what one describes as he describes the sacrifice. They would present the child to the outstretched arms of the molten deity, which was built so that the child would roll down the arms and into the mouth of this depiction of the foreign deity, where a fire had been built to consume the child. Oh, friends, when we hear of such things, we want to shut our ears. We want to say, these things just couldn't be happening. If it were on our nightly news, we might want to quickly turn it off, for it's just too graphic, it's too horrific for us to even think about. The people of Judah had no one to blame. They could not blame God, for he had not commanded it, nor did it even come into his mind. They were responsible for such atrocities. It would be tempting for us as we look on such an indictment to think of those evil people of Judah. How could they be so blind, and how could they not hear when God was coming to them and asking them to repent. How could they not see and how much evil they had perpetrated? And yet, friends, we should shudder in our own time. For things aren't really all that different. Although I'm grateful to learn that the abortion rate has declined over the past few years, I'm not at all glad to think about. 16.3 abortions per thousand in 1973, and still 13.5 in 2017. And the data suggests that over the period from 1973, when abortion was legalized, to 2011, there were more than 50 million abortions in these United States. And a few years ago, perhaps you remember it, we heard of the horrific news that Planned Parenthood was guilty of selling the body parts of the infants who had been aborted all over the country. And yet, anytime we hear of judgment, what often happens? Oh, let's just quiet the ones who are bringing the message of judgment. Let's just silence those who are bringing bad news. We don't need to hear their negative news any longer. Isn't that what we hear? When we read Jeremiah and how he brings the Lord's indictment against God's people, we should listen carefully. And when we see, as we've read in the book of Revelation, of the judgment that is to come, we should be careful to listen. Oh, how great is the sin, even of our own time. But he not only brings an indictment, we see, secondly, that he brings a sentence. He is going to sentence this place. Notice what he says. Verse 6, "Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when this place shall no more be called Topheth, or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter." Topheth is a place that is referred to as a place of fire. It's a place which had been contaminated by human sacrifice. It was a horrible place. But notice that God says through Jeremiah that this place is even worse. So bad is this horrible practice that this place is not even worthy to be called Topheth, but the valley of slaughter. And notice what the Lord is going to do in his sentence upon the people. Verse 7, "I will make void the plans of Judah and Jerusalem, and I will cause their people to fall by the sword before their enemies." He's going to ruin their plans. He's going to make them fall by the sword of the enemy. And what is most horrible is that their dead carcasses will be eaten by the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. The city, Jerusalem, the beautiful city, will no longer be beautiful, but it will be a place of great horror that people will hiss at. It will become a place of disgrace. And what is more similar, that this is a covenantal curse, even as the one pronounced in Deuteronomy chapter 28. What is going to happen? People will eat the flesh of their own children and their neighbor. It is at this point, in the midst of this pronouncement of the most severe judgment, that God tells Jeremiah, verse 10, "You shall break the flask in the sight of the men who go with you." I want you to notice that a theme is continued here, a theme similar to the one we saw in chapter 18. There in chapter 18, you'll remember that the potter was forming a clay jar. He was making it, and it was spoiled, and so he He took that clay and he put it back on the spinner's wheel to recast it, to remake it into a pot that was well designed. But this clay flask was hardened already. It wasn't pliable and able to be recast. No, Jeremiah was told here to take this gurgling vessel and to throw it to the ground that it would shatter and break. It was no more to be restored to its original shape. The judgment is final and it is complete. Jeremiah is called to show them here in ways that they could not possibly forget what was going to take place to them in this place. Although the generation would come under God's wrath, this generation to whom Jeremiah speaks would come under God's judgment and his wrath and his displeasure. Oh, yet how we must remember that God would not forever forget his promises. He had made a promise to Abraham that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And we know that God would send forth his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The judgment upon Judah would be severe and final and complete and horrible because of their sin and their refusal to repent. But that would not be the final word. God would yet show mercy. His anger would last not forever, but his joy would come in the morning. Oh, how true it is that for all who confess the Lord Jesus Christ, who believe in their hearts and confess with their mouths, they shall be saved. And accompanying this confession that Christ is Lord is a humility. It's a humility in which we seek God's forgiveness by repenting. That's what Judah didn't possess. And if you'll remember from the reading in Revelation, there were many, when the Lord brings the final judgment, who did not repent of their sins. Judah didn't want to hear of the indictment, nor did they want to hear about the sentence. We're told here that they had a stiff neck, just like that bottle that shattered and was broken, so the Lord would shatter and would not relent for those who refused to repent. But oh, how patient and compassionate God is. Oh, how marvelous the Lord is. But it should be a reminder to us, shouldn't it, that we have received oh so much more. For the Lord Jesus Christ has come, and if we refuse him, the judgment will be even more severe and more final. Oh, how we need to be reminded, dear friends, that there is power in the blood of the Lamb. The hymn goes like this: there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. And then it says this: would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. Oh, friends, the generation of Judah would come under God's judgment. And there is a judgment that is yet to come, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns in glory to judge the earth in righteousness. And may it be that you be found in him, for it's only that precious blood of Christ which brings the cleansing, which brings the forgiveness and brings the certainty of life everlasting. We've heard the indictment. The sentence has been pronounced and handed down. And now in chapter 20, we read of the prosecutor who is not accepted at all. We're told here that Pascher beat him and locked him up. Oh, what a mistake. It shows how bad things had really gotten. What pride, what arrogance, what refusal to believe the words of the prophets. And notice when he's taken from the stocks and released, what Jeremiah says to him. Verse 3 of chapter 20, "The Lord does not call your name Pascher, but terror on every side." Pascher's name meant freedom, or literally in the Aramaic, it meant prosperity everywhere. Jeremiah says, not only will there not be prosperity on every side, but you are going to be called terror on every side. A terror to yourself and a terror to your friends. Here was one who was the officer in the Lord's house, a priest, who should have been walking in the ways of the Lord and heeding his commands. But no, he's guilty of atrocities. He's guilty of not only refusing to listen, but propagating lies. "Surely these things will not happen," he says to the people of Judah. And notice what Jeremiah tells him. "They shall fall by the sword, fall to their enemies, Babylon the Great. Their wealth will be gone. Their plans will be destroyed. Pasher's household and family will be taken into captivity, and Pasher himself will die there in exile. And he will be held responsible for the lies that he has told." Oh, friends, what a reminder in our own time. When you hear many preaching prosperity everywhere, all is going to be well, all is going to be good, all you need to do is think positively. God wants you to be healthy, you hear, and wealthy. And don't think those negative thoughts. Don't talk about a judgment that is to come. Don't talk about it, don't believe it, and don't call out sin. Just be positive and tickle the ears of those who are listening. Isn't that what we often hear? Large crowds gather to hear false doctrine even in our time. And we are reminded here that such comes with a cost. Pasher's family and his friends and the nation of Judah who believed such lies would not come under the saving power of God. Oh, friends, how vital it is in our own time that the word of God be proclaimed, not the wishes and dreams and hopes of men. We are in an evil day, and the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is one of repentance, individual repentance and national repentance. We need to repent of our sin and stop turning a blind eye to what is going on simply because we do not want to believe it, or because we think that God certainly won't judge it. The judgment is sure to come. Unimaginable evil is occurring right before our eyes, and we are insulated from it and often isolated from it. But do not think that God will allow it to go on indefinitely. The judgment is sure, and the judgment is final for those who reject God's word. But friends, the good news is that for those who honor God's word, there is everlasting hope. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be popular, nor will your message be popular to the world around. But you will know the way that leads to life. Our Lord reminds us that in this world we will have tribulation, but He has overcome the world. If you belong to Jesus Christ, I urge you today to stand fast, to trust Him for His grace, to continue daily to repent and believe the good news of the gospel, that in Jesus Christ there is salvation, and that there is salvation in no other name under heaven. If you have not trusted in Christ, I urge you this day to consider this reality, that future judgment is certain, and it will be final, and it will be complete. Do not be stiff-necked. Turn from your ways. Turn to the One in whom alone there is life. And repent and trust Him for His grace. Let us pray. O gracious Father, we pray that You would help us. Help us by Your Spirit to repent and to trust, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ alone has the words of eternal life. Bless us in Him this day, we pray. We ask it in His precious name. Amen.